It's not plugged in.
Okie dokie, pokey. We live on the radio. Okay, everybody sing.
Yay.
Going fish, 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 fishing. Yes, hooks, anchor, and line. Yes. Okay, fishing Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and it's another beautiful day to be out there on the water. All the rest of that stuff going on. Just giving a quick check over and see what's happening on the intercoastal right now. And the wind is blowing 8 miles an hour out of the east northeast, gusting to 10. Oh my God, it's a nice day.
I was wondering where you're going with that. Wow.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a lovely day in the neighborhood.
Oh, this time of year is awesome.
Won't you go fishing? Okay.
It's a good time of year.
Yeah, everything's kind of cool right now. All right. Let's see. Where would you like to start our misadventures today? Señor Encyclopedio Robert, person. See, I speak good Spanish.
That was pretty
My
good.
My Spanglish is good.
Perfect.
Yes.
Very perfect. All you need to do is put a redneck draw with it and you wonder why the Americans are so loved elsewhere.
Hey, me hablo español and sprechen Sie wenig Deutsch.
Mm-hmm.
I go to every country I go to, I learn the language before I go. Okay.
It's not a bad thing.
No.
Good thing you haven't been to Brazil, because Portuguese is a real bugger.
Yeah, I know. I can't do Portuguese.
That's a hard, hard one.
Yeah, it was hard. Well, I have a real problem with Italian and Spanish because they're so similar, but they're different.
Very.
Yeah, when I was trying to speak Italian, I kept falling into Spanish, and they're looking at me going, what?
Yeah.
So, anyway, enough about world travels. Where are we going to start?
Well, that's world travel up to the river, because that's a quick, easy one.
Okay, go ahead.
Basically from 761 down to 75, there is a handful of tarpon up there, mostly by the power lines and around the navigator area.
Yeah, I've been hearing a little bit about that.
Not a ton. It's been sporadic, but when it's going on, it's been pretty decent. You know, it's if you're up there and you're coming down, it's well worth taking the time to look a little bit. Ladyfish have been working good. Crabs have been working good. Even the little tilapia, if you can find a few of those. The river's not flowing at all yet to make it really worthwhile on those, but that'll happen in another couple months.
There's a lot of Mayan cichlids up there.
Yes.
And there is some small tilapia, if you can find the schools, but they're getting a little bit bigger at this point.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering why the tilapia would not, or the Mayan cichlids, you'd almost think they'd be great bait.
I mean, think they will be. They're just, they're not as dumb to swim out in the open. They like hanging out right along the shoreline and up in the bushes more than anything else. And they don't congregate in the little schools the way the tilapia do. You know, so I think either one is going to work fine for bait. Just a matter of getting cast net in a couple of the cichlids in that shallow
water. How do you spell cichlids?
C-I-C-L-I-D.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we got that out of the way. Okay. what else was up there?
The tarpon, the cichlids, the ladyfish, and the crabs have been working good. If you can find some ladyfish up there, the tarpon will eat them. There's also been some snook and a few oddball redfish around some of the shorelines. But it hasn't been gangbusters. Been hearing you get one guy that wrecks them and five guys that don't catch a thing. But that's normally how it works anyway, just about anywhere for that matter.
Right. All right.
90% of the fish are caught by 5% of the fishermen or something like that. Isn't that how it works?
I don't know. I'm tired of going fishing. I want to go out and do a catching trip here pretty soon.
Yes.
I've had a I've had enough of the fishing trips for a while. I'd like to do a catching trip.
My black cloud wear off on you or what?
Yes.
That's not good. Well, if we go out together, maybe you'll catch all the fish. Or maybe I'll catch a fish because you've always been my lucky horseshoe.
Yeah. All right, where are we at now?
Let's do like I-75 let down to 41.
Okay.
Around the I-75, there's been a few decent black drum. Not a lot, but at least if you're there and you're fishing for them, you will probably hook into one or two.
Yeah, we've got a few blue crabs on and off between the tarpon crabs that, you know, great black drum bait up there.
You know, and there's been a few Goliath grouper that have been moving out of the canals and rivers up there, so they're kind of getting a few incidental ones next to the bumpers and around the big pilings in the closer to the center of the channel. Been some juvenile tarpon at first light in the morning up there, you know, little, you know, 5 to 20 pounders, the real fun stuff.
Right.
Oddball whiting, oddball silver trout, and speckled trout. There has been a lot of reports of baby bull sharks around up there in between the bridges. You know, this is kind of the normal time of year. A lot of those sharks are, this, you know, month of May is the prime pupping season for a lot of those sharks. So you've got those 2 to 4 footers hanging around, you know, feeding on the little schools of bait fish that have been moving in and out with the tides. Mm-hmm. So you got those little bull sharks that like to hang out up there a lot. It's not surprising if you get a little bit bigger black tip or a little larger bull shark.
So that's going on in 75. What's going on by 41?
That's kind of all in between there, too. You know, 41, the morning bite has been good for some whiting, a few oddball small cobia. Been some good snook reports and tarpon reports during the dark hours, you know, like 4 o'clock in the morning till just after sunrise. Incidental black drum again at the 41 bridge. Been a few Spanish there, but they seem to be kind of coming and going, not really on any particular tide.
Yeah.
You know, it's been good, but weird.
Yeah, it hasn't been real steady.
Yeah. Usually this time of year, you can kind of at least schedule it a little bit with tide or the bait moving in and out, whether it's an incoming tide or an outgoing tide, but lately it just matter just being there at that right moment, unfortunately.
Yeah. So where do you want to head now?
Well, if you're doing this, just go in alphabetical order.
No, just keep going. I'm fine.
Okay. Well, let's jump over to the Port Charlotte Canals, all along that Bay Shore Port Charlotte Canal area.
Okay.
Over there at the Port Charlotte Canals. Up inside the canals have been a little wonky, I guess would be a good word for it.
You know, I don't think I have anything. Oh no, I got it right here. Okay. I forgot I had it here. I got so used to looking at his spillways, I forgot we have a separate section for the canals.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll add that in here.
Yeah, spillways aren't doing a whole lot yet. Hasn't been, the rain's
there's
been
no water.
Yeah.
I drove by and there's literally no water up by any of the spillways at all.
Yeah. It's just not enough rain. You know, people are getting 4 inches of rain in a 1 square block area and nothing else anywhere.
Right. They say, well, with all the rain we got, the water should be. I said, no, it just rained on your house. It didn't rain at my house or anybody else's house. It was pouring at your place. So it seems like there's a lot of water should be flowing, but.
True definition really of isolated thunderstorm.
Yeah. Your house gets dredged. But look down the street when you leave your house. 2 blocks away, there's no rain.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, what's going on in the Port Charlotte Canals?
There's been a lot of jacks coming through. Some of the main canals that are real close to the harbor have got a lot of juvenile tarpon and even some adult tarpon in them. Spring Lake and Edgewater Lake in particular doing still real good on a lot of tarpon to look at. Hooking them's a little different ball game. The mangrove snapper bite has started to pick back up again. We had a little low there for a week or so where I didn't hear much reports on them, but starting to pick back up again, especially up there by the old locks up there off of Midway. Getting some reports
back up
like
on the Manchester.
Yeah, like 12 and 13 inch mangrove snapper.
Okay.
There's been a few oddball, and I mean very oddball sheep's head around, but they've been pretty decent size. I had a guy catch four of them off of his dock, and the one that he showed me a picture of, it was 17 inches. It's a pretty good one.
All right. Where do you want to go from there?
Let's head over towards the Myakka.
All right. No, I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay. Myakka, you know, in the cutoff itself.
Sorry, boys and girls. What we've been trying to do is correlate our audio report with the written fishing report so, you know, we can get more updates to you. So he's trying to wait for me to type, and I'm quicker than that. I'm fast, speedy typer. You just can't read what I type. The words don't make any sense, but, you know.
Yeah, I can type 1,000 words a minute, but you aren't going to decipher any of them.
Yeah, well, that's the only problem. When you read the fishing report, just kind of think of what the word should mean.
There you go.
Anyway.
In the cutoff itself, it's been a little squirrely. It's starting to get really warm in there. The few guys that have been going up in there looking for some snook and catching a few oddball redfish. They've been hooking into the occasional tarpon up inside there.
What's up, Barb?
Some guy's here asking if we want crabs. He said you talked to him.
Yeah, okay, hang on, just, okay. Okay, and had a little pause delay, you know, part of owning a retail store is you get a wholesaler show up, people do, you know, things happen. Anyway, we're back, and we've been doing over. We went through the Peace River, 41 Bridge, I-75, Port Charlotte Canals, and now we're going up to the Myakka River. And in the Myakka cutoff, I think we've been talking about some possible redfish and snook.
Yeah, there's been some oddball snook and redfish up in there, but there's also been a few tarpon coming through there.
In the cutoff?
Yeah. Had like two different reports in the past week of guys pitching along the bushes and hooking an 80 pounder. And then having multiple blow ups and hookups and just swimming by. So I don't know if they're kind of swimming through or something's changed a little bit, because you very rarely hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's enough where it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, I. So, what's going on in the Myakka River itself?
In the river itself, at the mouth, going all the way up to El Jobin, there's been a variety of tarpon all the way scattered up through there. A lot of small sharks of assorted sizes. Been a few cobia. Most of them are on the small side or undersized. And they're more closer to the El Jobin Bridge. That whole big open, I guess I would call it a basin more than anything else.
All right. And anything else going on up there?
Been some nice mangrove snapper off the bridge or off the pier itself at night. Been hearing of some 12-inch and 14-inch mangrove snapper.
Okay. Well, I guess that puts us going down the west wall.
Yeah. Basically.
Barb's doing her little happy dance here today.
It's from Cattle Dock Point down to the radio tower. It's been hit or miss. There's been not a lot, but fishable redfish up under the bushes mostly. And they're still on that shrimp feed. I mean, shrimp have been the main focus on those redfish up underneath the bushes, with some oddball crabs too. Once you get to the radio tower and work your way south, you start to see more scattered snook mixed in the mix with the redfish. Been a lot of jacks coming through also of assorted sizes, from, you know, 1 pound all the way up to as big as like 8 pounds.
Okay.
And then on the bar itself, a few oddball pompano. We had a couple different guys that got some nice pompano over there the other day. Two different days, two different reports. Haven't heard much for cobia. I'm sure there's some small sharks and stuff over there on the outside edge of the bar, but haven't heard anything worth mentioning.
All right. going around down to Cape Hayes?
On Cape Hayes itself, there's a lot of bonnet heads and some other little sharks. Been a few oddball trout. Incidental cobia. And then there's been some snook right up against the shoreline coming around from Muddy Bay heading over into Turtle Bay. And they've been, you know, that's those fish that are migrating out towards the passes. So you might run into a big school of them and then all of a sudden they're gone. And it has nothing to do with time or bait. It's just them being there.
Okay.
And then up inside Turtle Bay. Turtle Bay's been pretty hit or miss. It hasn't had a whole lot of pressure because so many people are chasing the tarpon right now and the sharks. So it's been kind of nice because you don't have a ton of people running you over. The redfish have been under the bushes and out in some of those deeper potholes. Still there again, the redfish are focused on the shrimp. I don't know what it is this year, but the shrimp have been, even with the white bait around, it seems like the guys are doing much better on the shrimp.
Yeah, it's been a weird year, everything. I don't know what goes on with the... why one bait does with a good and the other. The only thing I can think of is, you know, I like Italian food, but I don't stop at every Italian restaurant right. I see, every time I see one.
Yeah.
And I think it falls along with, you know, gee, I really like pizza, but I don't want it every day. And right. I think sometimes you get cravings for different stuff, and it must be whatever the nutritional needs are. Maybe the fish get keyed in on bait to get one type of thing, and then start going to shrimp for another, or could be just lazy and don't want to chase the bait fish.
Yeah, very well could be.
A lot of different speculations there.
I like the idea of the nutrients. That would make more sense.
You know, I try to be scientifical.
Well, and it's true, though, if you think about it, because, I mean...
Is there any difference between Bull Bay and Turtle Bay right now?
No, they're about a mirror image of each other. The only difference in Bull Bay is right at the entrance there in the on the harbor side entrance. There has been a good variety of some mangrove snapper and oddball pompano, ladyfish, jacks. For some reason, that deep little trough always holds kind of a mixed gamut of things more so.
All right.
And then you got, you know, from devilfish working your way up towards the sandfly, the clam fields, all that area.
Right.
A lot of assortment of different size sharks, from little guys up to, you know, 6-7 foot lemons with an oddball bull mixed in with them.
Okay.
Hasn't been gangbusters. You know, mixed reports of redfish, mixed reports of snook, some Spanish mackerel and some trout as you get closer to the intercoastal in that 4 to 6 feet of water range. You know, so drifting along through there can be fairly productive. It's just not on fire by any stretch.
What's going on in Placida?
Placida's been pretty good. The day fishing has been pretty decent for mangrove snapper. A lot of different varieties of sharks and Spanish mackerel. But the nighttime has been really, really good. A lot of catch and release snook going on. Bigger mangrove snapper. You know, hearing 15, 16-inch mangroves being caught off of there, and the guys are doing good on those with the little cut pieces of sardine and small live pinfish.
Oh, pieces of sardines are...
Yeah. Yeah. Had a guy come in here, and I asked him what he was up to, and he was going out there because he was getting some in the mid-teens mangroves fishing off of both sides, both the South Pier and the regular main Placida Pier.
Okay.
Then going up the intercoastal, I haven't heard much from Lemon Bay other than the redfish that are being caught in random spots have been much better quality. And a couple of guys are catching them in the bushes, the sand holes, under the docks, kind of scattered. It seems like the better activity is once you get into Stump Pass and right out there along the beaches close to Stump Pass. That's where I've been hearing more. Much better reports.
And what's going on out there? He said, I've been hearing better reports than I was
still typing.
I'm continuously typing. It's never going to stop.
I know.
I started the whole radio program, so I didn't have to type everything out. But the typed report has thousands more visitors than the radio report.
Right.
And I get that. It's hard to listen all the time, and I wouldn't want to listen to me. But they're listening to you. Usually they like that.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
So, anyway.
Stump pass, some really nice whiting, a few oddball flounder. Been a few trout moving through in little groups. I don't know if they're getting ready to migrate out to the beaches or what, but getting some fairly decent reports on them. A lot of snook, a few redfish. In the early mornings, there's been a couple guys getting some big bull reds that have been drifting through there fishing for the snook or whatever else. Jacks of assorted sizes. And then there's been tarpon basically kind of moving in and out of the pass as they're cruising up and down the beaches. They seem to move in there for a little bit and move right back out. They aren't sticking around for very long, but there's definitely tarpon in and around that stump pass area.
Okay. I guess that puts us taking a walk, along the beaches. What's going on in the beaches and the passes?
Definitely as you get closer to the passes, obviously it's much better fishing in general. Just more moving water, more bait coming through, so that's normal. But from, I'm going to say probably from Sarasota all the way down to Fort Myers has been really good. Whiting, good size whiting, 14, 15 inch whiting. Some good size jacks. Lots of schools of blue runners. This is still a year for blue runners. It's pretty amazing. I mean, guys are catching them up to 2 pounds out there on a regular basis. Spanish mackerel been moving in and out close to within casting distance of the beach. Tarpon have been from anywhere from 10 feet off the beach to, 4 miles, basically. I heard of one cobia being caught off the beach and a couple bigger sharks being caught from the beach, too. And this is all day fishing, not just night fishing, so it's been kind of impressive the amount of different species we've been hearing about.
Okay.
And I would be using the shrimp. I mean, if you got a little cast net, like a little 4-footer, I'd use the whiting, those little finger whiting that you can catch in the surf.
Right.
Those are unbelievable. It's some of my favorite bait for out there.
Now, let's go out into the Gulf. I mean, the Gulf has just been kind of such a mixed gambit. I've heard of mahi-mahi out 25 miles out.
Yeah, 25 is about the closest I've heard, but more consistent, like at that 35 and 45. As far as where you could almost plan on running into a small school of them, inside of that, it's kind of be prepared for it, but not necessarily have it happen.
Yeah, Morris found some good-sized dolphin out in 50-55 feet of water, but it's rare.
Yeah.
There was some stuff floating on the water, and he went and looked, and they caught some real nice mahi on that.
Really?
For this area, real nice. I mean, they were 20 to 30-inch mahi-mahi.
That's real nice. Yeah, usually anything over 12, 14 inches is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing of still some, let's stay out there in that 20 to 35 mile mark.
Okay.
Red grouper is still really good. The amberjack have been really good. If you're out there and planning on staying out there, like if you can get out there while it's just breaking daylight, the yellowtail snapper have been really good. all the way into the evening time during the middle of the day, they get a little shy. But if you can get it in the low light conditions, there's some 3 to 5 pound yellowtail out there. The amberjack, a few oddball kings, oddball bigger cobia, mixed variety of sharks from little sharks all the way up to giant. And then as you move in closer from like that inside of like 20 miles, mangrove snapper have been phenomenal. I mean, really, really good reports on mangs.
Lane snapper's been doing really good, too.
Same way with vermilions. I've been hearing vermilions at like 10 miles out. What's up with that? Guy brought in a picture of like 6 of them that he caught And he got him out there at Sherman's Reef. That's 12 miles?
Yeah, something like that.
Got him at Sherman's Reef.
Yeah, it's...
You know, that's a trip.
There is just a crazy amount of different types of fish out through the Gulf right now. This whole last year, the Gulf has been doing well, but I've been looking at the temperatures from Key West to Pensacola, and we're about 4 degrees difference now. And
right.
That's about it. I mean, everything's right in that mid-80s. And
yeah.
That's pretty warm for the Gulf. Now, it's still, like I say, about 3 or 4 degrees cooler up by Pensacola, so they're getting a little bit more of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
But every day it's been getting warmer up in that area, and that's going to bring those fish back south again.
They've been getting a lot more rain, too. All that rain that's been coming through Texas has been kind of breaking up along that whole coast, so I think that's keeping it a little cooler water temperature-wise.
Yeah,
not by much, I mean, but that's why you're saying that 3 or 4 degrees is just barely enough to help.
It's just years ago when I first started doing the fishing reports, you know, 30 years ago, it was always summertime. You went up by Pensacola because the water was 10 degrees plus cooler up there.
Yeah.
And nowadays, we're getting very little, if any, variant.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
Well, I was looking at the air temperature up there yesterday. I just kind of was nosing around looking at the whole radar and watching the temperature as I scrolled up the whole coast. And yesterday morning at 9:30 or whatever it was, we were 77 degrees, and it's hopscotch between 77 and 79 degrees all the way until I got to Alabama.
Right.
There was only 2 degrees of air temperature difference, and Tampa was the hot spot. Everything else was almost identical within a degree.
Well, that's the one thing. Working at the oil spill, when I went up for the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, I found out it was way hotter in the south than it is down
yes,
here.
Yes, it is.
We are the far north.
Yeah.
We are so far south, we're more northern. In a little while, it'll be us and Canada that have the cooler weather, because
yeah.
it's going to get really hot up north this year. I think it's going to be in the first scorcher.
They can have it. I like living close to the equator. At least it's more consistent.
Yeah, I don't need the real highs and real lows.
No.
Okay. So anyway, we came out of the Gulf of Mexico. Where do we go next?
Let's go down south.
Ponderosa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ponderosa, that whole area around Sanibel, both out right along the beaches and in through the intercoastal, there's been a ton of tarpon. Most of the guys are looking for the fish out on the beaches and following them because they can either see the shadows of them or actually see the fish because the water is so clear out there right now. But if you go inside from Ponderosa and work your way anywhere up the intercoastal and even up through Matlache area, if you're just willing to anchor up and wait patiently and throw baits out, you're going to catch a few sharks mixed in with it, but they've been doing really well on tarpon just coming through in their singles and doubles and triples, mainly on cut mullet, live crabs, and catfish tails.
All right, so now, so what you do is you go along, you get somewhere along the intercoastal around the Captiva Redfish Pass,
mm-hmm.
anywhere along in there up to, and you're just getting off to the side of the intercoastal,
yeah,
anchoring like, there and catching whatever small fish that's you're allowed to cut up for bait and tossing live or tails, or what are you tossing out?
I would be throwing out, I mean, I would be trying probably some pinfish and maybe even ladyfish. But my main go-to is going to be probably the catfish tails, crabs, and mullet, just because I'm always going to take frozen bait. You've ingrained that so much in my head to never go without taking something with you, because
so
it bites me in the butt every time.
Is it better to put them out under a float or on the bottom or free line or a mixture of?
I would do a mixture of, honestly, because you're posted up anyway,
okay.
Anchored up, stick it, whatever. I would be trying to cover all areas of the water column because those fish are just kind of nice and easy lollygagging. They're not being tormented and followed. So they're kind of hanging at all different points in that water column. And most of the guys are in like that 5-6 feet of water.
Now, I'm going to go back up and I'm going to give a real, to me, as soon as you said that, if you're in Boca Raton Pass tarpon fishing, obviously there's some tarpon going in and out of the pass. The fishing's been doing pretty good there. Jigs are on the increase. There's so many people catching tarpon on the jigs right now, and there's a lot of simple ways to rig them up to keep it legal, swim bait style. And but as you get in Boca Raton Pass and then up on the hill inside, so many of those fish get chased around. It's really, really, it's a lot of stress because every time they show themselves, you know, 10 boats run over and everybody starts casting at them. And
throwing little bombs at them.
Yeah, you've got all the drift boats there that are all trying to get in on the tarpon. You've got the little boats, the big boats, but there's so much pressure on those fish.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still doing boy meet girl stuff. They're just kind of, you know, trying to get to know each other, pick who they're going to spawn with and do all that stuff. And so eating is not primary on their mind.
Right.
But now when you get south along the intercoastal and you just kind of anchor up, throw some baits out there, what you're getting is the fish who are not in the full-on spawn mode. They've kind of taken a break. They're just kind of, you know, sightseeing, taking some time off to relax.
Or they're just late for the party.
But either way, they're just kind of cruising along, but they're not being chased every time they show themselves along through there. They're just kind of swimming along, so you've got actually a better shot at, and you're not going to burn the gas or all the frustration and deal with other boats. Just pick a spot all by yourself and throw some baits out there. If you see somebody fishing there, that's not the place to fish. The place to fish is a half a mile down from him.
Right.
Either up or down, it's not going to make any difference because he'll get one, you'll get one. But, you know, it's not the idea behind this is to get the relaxing fish, the ones who are just out of the pressure.
Yeah, you're not going to see hundreds of fish, but you're going to hook the same amount or more without the headache.
Right.
I mean, in most instances, you're probably going to hook more fish, you know, without all the congestion and all the other boats and dealing with that kind of frustration. I mean, if you want the frustration, go up there. If you want to actually catch fish and enjoy your day, I'm going to the intercoastal.
Yeah, it's truly, if you see somebody with their lines out, that's the last place you want to be.
Right.
This is, you know, solitary fish, solitary fishermen.
Right.
That's what it's about. And sometimes people think, oh, well, he's fishing there. He knows it's a good spot. It's ridiculous. Pick a spot before or after him. It doesn't really matter. But the more space you have between you and the other boats, the more likely you are to catch the tarpon. The closer you are to the other boats, the less likely you are to catch fish.
Yes.
And if somebody comes right up on you, just pack up and move a quarter mile away and anchor back up again. It's not going to disrupt anything. But the more space you have, the better, more likely you are to get these particular fish. Now, when you're in up on the hill and the other ones, they see the groups of fish, so they're going for them. Trick there again is to try and figure out, okay, watch them and see if they come up, and then everybody starts fishing them. When they go down, see which way they're coming up and try and anticipate and get like two rises ahead of them, so you're kind of there before they get there.
Right. Have your baits already out and anticipating them coming your direction.
Now, just kind of staying on that general tarpon thing, I'm doing the same thing along the beaches. The problem is the tarpon, when they cruise along the beach, don't really go in a straight line. They kind of go to the left a little bit, then they'll come back a little closer to shore, then they'll go out further from the shore. It's hard. You got to be a little bit lucky and a little bit good at the same time to try and guesstimate where they're going to be, because you see the fish hard on the motor, you know, get a quarter mile ahead of them, shut down, become a hole in the water, get your baits out. If you're using DOA bait busters, put the hitchhiker in, put it out, get it under a float. Mm-hmm. Already there dancing in the water, and then if the tarpon, as you see them come up, if they don't hit it while it's on the float, bring it in, pop the float off, and start casting it.
Right.
But I want it there before they get there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't care if it's a crab, bait fish, bait buster. I don't care what it is. I'm definitely going to try to have as many baits out in the water ahead of time and then have maybe one pole ready to cast in case you're off by, you know, 20, 50 feet, whatever it happens to be.
It's sad when you're only off by 10, 20 feet and they come by and they don't get close enough to the bait to really see it.
It's better than casting off the front of the boat when they're behind the boat.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, I think they're over here. No, they're not. Turn around.
Yeah. And that's the one big thing. We've been trying to get people to understand is that you really want to look behind you when you're on a boat. It's the forgotten safety factor.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the forgotten fish factor. Being knowing what's going on behind your boat and alongside your boat is as important as what's going on in front of your boat. If you're fishing and all you're doing is looking one way, I mean, Robert and I were in a helicopter, and I've been fortunate enough to do a lot of flying around the harbor and watch people fishing, and it falls with the same patterns. We tell them, don't get so involved in where you're going that you miss the fish that are right there where you are or where you're passing at the moment.
Exactly.
And so when I'm fishing and I'm casting out in front of the boat, every few times I turn around and just throw the other way. Just because I've seen it so many times that, okay, this is where I think all the fish are, and this is what I'm casting to, and then, all right, this isn't right. Okay, I'm going to turn around and see what's behind me.
Yeah.
Then I'll make a cast out. If I'm fishing the mangroves, every once in a while I just turn and cast out to the open water or down further along the shore just to make sure they're not just pulling a fast one on me. Okay, they're all fishing over there, so let's go wait over here until he's done.
Yeah, know? Exactly. So, well, and that happens with hunters all the time, too. I mean, they're always sitting in a stand looking at the field going, well, the deer should be coming in over here. And how many times do they turn around, either look at something or think they hear something, and hey, there's the big buck that was supposed to come out in front of them. You know, it happens a lot.
I've been on the stands and I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, sitting against a tree watching this whole clearing and a, you know, passageways through the woods and everything, watching for deer, and all of a sudden I hear something on 10 feet behind me or 5 feet behind me on the backside of the tree. There's 6 deer there eating. You know,
it's going, hey, yeah, you weren't supposed to turn around.
Yeah. Well, you're there, you know. Yeah, it's always that way. But anyway, getting around Ponderosa, we've talked about a lot of tarpon down through there.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of snook and stuff under the bridges. Coming up around the intercoastal, we got a lot of snook on the intercoastal.
Yeah, a lot of snook.
It's just amazing.
Redfish Pass and Captiva Pass are stacked with them right now.
Really?
Yeah. I heard redfish has got the big fish. Several guys are starting to do that drift.
Oh, yeah.
It's starting to turn on. This next full moon should really kick it off good.
Every once in a while when I'd have customers on, because it's a long run from here down there by boat,
yeah.
But when I'd have regulars on the boat want to do something different, we would go down there and join the snook drift. And yeah, it's really cool, and it reminds you of the old tarpon drifting. But what it is you get in line, and you're using a quarter-ounce, half-ounce sinker and a bait fish, and you get up on the top of the drift, and you take your place, and you drift through and catch your snook, get out of line, and then once you've landed your fish and stuff, then you go back and get in line waiting to make your drift again. And it's a very orderly process, but this isn't going down there. I always hesitate to tell people because people don't, when you go there, watch what the boats are doing and take your place in amongst what everybody else is doing. This is not a place to go do your own thing.
Yeah.
This is the place to do what everybody else is doing because it works, it's cool, it's neat.
Yeah.
But going down there going, okay, I'm going to anchor here and fish is as rude of a thing to do. Do not go there to do that. Do not be that person.
Yeah, don't be that guy.
Yeah, don't be that person. So if you're going to go down there,
it's actually like an assembly line. It's really pretty cool.
And it's neat as heck, and it works, and everybody catches some fish, and everybody has a good time. But it's like anything else. You don't live on the planet by yourself. Take your turn, but stay back.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what happens. Figure out what they're doing. And then when you think you know what's going on, go in and join your place in amongst it. You know,
absolutely.
There's always room for one more, but not if you're this weirdo that's got to do everything your way.
Right.
The reason you went there was to do what they're doing.
Right.
Not what you wanted to do. So yeah, Figure it out, stay back, look, learn, and then participate. and you'll have a lot of fun. It's really cool.
That's real cool.
The people that I would take down there, we always had a real good time doing it, and they enjoyed watching what everybody else was doing as much as participating in it.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that makes it so interesting.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
So, anyway, let's go up inside St. James City, Matt Lachey.
Well, St. James City and Matt Lachey area, same thing. You know, quite a few tarpon going on through there. Scattered reports of redfish throughout the whole area, especially around the Indian fields. Some of the guys drifting and casting to the sand holes have been getting some nice trout. Not great numbers, but a little bit better quality. They've been up there in like that high teens, maybe low 20s. Not a lot, but decent fish. Shrimp. Shrimp have been working good on those fish down there still. You know, white bait's been sporadic working down there too, but the shrimp have been pretty consistent. And then right around Matt Lachey, you know, there's been some snook there, some nice mangrove snapper off and on, and some miscellaneous little sharks all throughout there too. It's always a pretty cool little area through there, but it's just hit or miss. You know, I'm more partial to jump to the other side on the intercoastal side more so than that side. Even though it's pretty and a little less beat up.
Yeah, I like going over to Matt Lachey. I think it's a nice area. You've got a few restaurants. I don't know if they're still in business that you could tie your boat up to. And it was funny, we went there and I pulled up to a restaurant, and then we got out and looked, and they're closed up. Their hours, they closed pretty much right after lunch. I mean, then they didn't open again until dinner. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something. They were closed. It was like, really?
Yeah.
We had to go across the other side of the river, anchor up there, and walk up to a restaurant.
It's weird.
Yeah, people do business in strange ways. Yeah, I don't get all that. But anyway, but then again, maybe they don't have the IRS on their ass like I do.
Right.
I guess maybe there's a reason people do what they do. So anyway, where are we at now?
I'm going to say like all around Boquilla and Jug Creek Shoals.
Okay, let's do Pine Island Sound here quick.
Okay. Pine Island Sound, basically you got your tarpon and your sharks scattered up and down the whole thing. Your redfish and your snook are really good numbers on the basically the outsides of the islands, especially if you can find good flowing water. That seems to have your heavier concentrations of, you know, your snook and reds. Been a few trout mixed in with them and an oddball Spanish mackerel. And down there, because it goes from 1 foot to 10 foot so quickly, you will get stroked off by a Spanish mackerel every now and then in a foot of water. You know, it's not that unusual to happen. Which is kind of cool. Makes it interesting and frustrating all at the same time.
Now, jumping up around Boquilla.
Boquilla's got probably some of the more varieties of fish going on there. If you're out on all those deeper grass flats around those two islands out on the very north end.
Right.
Been some good tarpon cruising around through there, singles and triples again. Sharks of a variety of sizes, from literally two foot to 7 foot. Spanish mackerel, some nice trout. If you're working something real close to the bottom, real slow, the trout have been pretty good. They're staying down close to the grass, though. As you get up closer to the sandbars or even up along the shoreline, been the snook, some redfish, oddball pompano and an oddball flounder. And then there's a large variety of bait throughout the whole thing. Thread fins are out in that deeper water. Greenbacks are in closer to the shoreline. Lots of finger mullet around some of those little sandbars over towards Jug Creek and Patricio and stuff.
Right.
So kind of a whole mixed gamut. It's kind of cool.
Okay. Well, I guess let's go out into the harbor, out in the deep holes. What's going on out in the harbor on the holes and stuff?
In the deeper holes, it's been pretty interesting. There's tarpon are scattered everywhere, and they're crabs, thread fins, bait busters, pinfish. They kind of can't make up their mind. They're not concentrated, though. They're just literally scattered over areas. So if you see one or two fish roll or a free jumper, just fish it for a while and give it your best shot. A lot of little sharks. They're again, the sharks are a little different right now. They're actually concentrated into little groups. So you'll find them on the outside edge of the Pirate Harbor hole or in between the lower 20-foot hole and the upper 20-foot hole. So you got to get out there and chum for a half hour to an hour. If you don't get anything, move a little bit. You don't have to move far, but plan on moving, you know, anywhere from a half a mile, quarter mile, something like that, and just try again. You can also drift if you want until you actually start hooking into a couple of those little sharks.
Yeah, I've been talking to people about doing that kind of thing, and some of the better things to find the cobia, the sharks, the tarpon and stuff, is to put a chum bag out and start drifting.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure the chum's coming out and keeping your anchor handy. As soon as you see the bait fish or the other fish starting to congregate around your chum. Now, I've got my lines out and I am actively fishing, but I'm watching for stuff being attracted to the chum. As soon as I start seeing stuff coming to my chum, thread fins, mackerel, trout, ladyfish, jacks, catfish, whatever it should be, what I'm doing then is dropping, sliding my anchor in, getting the boat.
You're not
stopped.
Throwing it off the side?
No, I'm not casting it over so it's a bomb. No, I try and slip it into the water as nicely as possible. Once the boat stops, then it seems to congregate more of the fish right there. And once you start seeing the fish, if you continue drifting, you're going to lose those fish. As soon as you spot the fish starting to aggregate around, or collect around your chum bag, then slide your anchor into the water, get the boat to stop, and let the concentrations of fish and food for the bigger fish get greater in numbers.
Right.
And that's when you're going to see your better fishing. I usually just anchor up, put my chum out, and wait for the fish to come to me. But this has been proving to be a little bit better this year. And this year's such a weird year. And I usually don't advocate drifting and chumming at the same time. It doesn't seem to be as effective. But this year, you're having to find the fish. They're not willing to come to the chum as much as they want you to bring it to them.
Yeah.
And once it's there, you can literally go past the fish with it.
Right.
That's why it's kind of important to keep an eye out for. I got my lines out. I got one with a bobber, one free line, one dragging on a sinker. But as soon as I see stuff starting to accumulate on the chum, you got to stay there and let the numbers increase. Because other fish, as those fish start feeding on the chum, getting more excited, they will attract other fish to you.
Yes.
But it's not a matter of, okay, here's fish, let me stop and chum. Or it's different, but adapt and overcome. We will endeavor to persevere. So anyway, where else? I guess the east side of the harbor, I guess, is
the east side, all around from just north of Pirate Harbor down through just south of Burnt Store. Snooker still moving up and down the shoreline. Redfish are all kind of scattered along the outside edges, but better redfish up inside all those little bays and little creeks and stuff. There again, shrimp still seems to be king. Some guys are doing okay on white bait and stuff like that, but the shrimp is definitely working by far better than anything else up in there. And then if you're drifting along on top of the bar or just on the outside edge of the bar, few trout. Lots of little sharks of assorted species. Incidental cobia here and there. There again, most of them are just barely legal or undersized, but still fun to catch. Especially if you catch them on trout tackle. I don't care if it's 28-inch cobia or not. It still might as well be a freight train. What else is going on over there? That's pretty much about it as far as those species. I haven't heard of any pompano or flounder over there, which is weird because you'd usually hear about more of those on the east side than you do the west side, yet I've had better reports on pompano over there.
Yeah, I think because there's no rain, that west side is a feeding area and stuff, that The east side's been so clear and so good for so long, I think the food source would be lower at that point. Now, I have heard of scattered reports of whitebait over on the east side of the harbor.
Right.
But on the west side, because it hasn't been that good, now the water's clearing up, everything's getting better, and you got good water flow coming down that west side of the harbor. So, but it's not fresh water from the rivers.
Right.
So
it's actually good salinity.
Yeah, I think that it's just a newer feeding ground opened up, more availability for shrimp and small crabs and everything else over there.
Yeah, it's not a bad concept. The other thing that we missed over there is there's been a lot of jacks. I mean, jacks have been, it's great to see them finally coming back.
Over on the east side?
Yeah. I mean, we're hearing jacks east side, west side. Been schools up and down throughout the whole center of the harbor. I mean, it's been really nice. I mean, they're not giants for the most part, but that 2 to 4 pound jack is still a blast to catch. People just, I don't know, it's not prestigious like a spot-tailed carp.
I think it's, I would, as I always maintain, if jacks learn to jump, they'd be the number one game fish in the world, and you'd never be allowed to take one again.
Yep. Absolutely.
If you hooked a 30-pound jack, that's like catching an 80-pound tarpon. And if they would learn how to jump out of the water, it'd be amazing.
I've never caught a 30-pound jack. I don't even know if I've ever broke the 20-pound mark on a jack. Mm. I know I've gotten in the high teens, but I don't know if I broke the 20-pound mark. That'd be kind of cool.
You know, on different types of jacks, the one that they catch in the Pacific.
Oh, giant trevally.
Yeah, I was over when we were in Costa Rica. I caught one there
that was easily
in 40-pound range.
What was that? That wasn't a GT. That was a blue trevally, I think it was.
And
they actually just caught the first GT though, giant trevally, off of Costa Rica. Where was I reading it? Like a month and a half, 2 months ago. It was in a sport fishing magazine. It was either off the coast of Panama or off the coast of Costa Rica, which is like the first documented catch. I guess they've gotten reports over the last couple of years of people catching them, but nothing truly documented.
Right.
So that's high on the bucket list. That'd be a cool fish. I mean, you're talking a jack that goes on average of 80 pounds.
That would be very cool.
I mean, I think the all-time record's a buck and a half or something like that.
On a side note, have you heard anything from South Gulf Cove? What's going on back there?
I've had a couple better reports on some bluegill this past week. Quite a few guys back there having some fun catching some bluegill and shellcrackers and stuff. And the tilapia have been cooperating well on the little worms, too. I think that's why we're hearing more reports of the bluegill. I haven't heard much for bass or tarpon or anything. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, well, things kind of come and go. I haven't really heard anything. Let's see. Just trying to think of where I was at here. God, I've been using the wrong date on this whole thing. I gotta change all the dates. what's going on in Two Pines Burnt Store area?
Redfish and snook kind of cruising up and down the bar and up along the bushes. A lot of wade fishermen down there, especially with this holiday weekend. I guess it's been pretty impressive how many people are down there. And then right off the bar there, basically between Burnt Store and Boquilla,
right.
Some good sized sharks, a lot of individual tarpon. And then a few guys have been doing some good while they're sitting out there drifting or anchoring, catching silver trout. There's that little gravel patch of bottom there. It's kind of harder bottom, like shelly, I guess.
Right.
They've been getting some silver trout, like up to 15 inches down there, pretty steady. Which is cool.
Nice fish.
Yeah. Fun to catch. We did that a couple years ago down there when we were out there screwing around. We were trying to catch bait, and we sat there and caught, 30 of them. Kind of impressive. It's the most silver trout I've ever caught in one sitting.
Yeah, it used to be really thick numbers up on the river in the wintertime. Yeah. And last few winters we haven't seen that. Maybe they're moving down to Pirate Harbor. Two Pines, rather.
Right. Something changed a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. I'm just doing kind of a rundown.
PGI, we kind of missed over.
Well, I was just going to ask you, what about Lashley Pier?
Lashley Pier has been a little funky. The early morning bite, basically, for a few snook, an oddball shark, and some small Spanish mackerel.
Okay.
Other than that, it's been pretty quiet. And you know, I've been hearing some better reports over there at Gilcrest. Gilcrest has still got some nice jacks, a few snook, and been catching a lot of little sharks off of there.
Okay. Well, I don't. We're going to do PGI and the canals and stuff. Now, I'm hearing pretty good reports from Ponce de Leon as far as some snappers and mixed oddball activity fish.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of anything wonderful there, but a lot better activity than most of the years lately.
Well, and it finally, I think it's because it finally stabilized after all that dredging all darn winter, you know, and it's all that water flow, lack of rain, kind of a, it's finally picking back up with its consistency, because really the last year, even before they started the dredging, it was kind of slow.
Right.
So I think we might be on that little bit better of an upswing. Because, you know, we've got some black drum, jacks, mangrove snapper, oddball redfish, oddball snook. I mean, kind of back to the old, almost the old way it used to be.
Right.
Not quite phenomenal, but definitely better than average.
No, I agree with you there. Let's do, what's going on in Venice up at the jetties or sharkies or anything?
The jetties have got some big snook on them right now. Seb has been having a good time up there during the weekdays because, you know, snook season's closed, so it's strictly a catch-and-release thing. But Seb's been going up there one night a week and just having a great time. Catching, you know, anywhere from 4 to 15 fish, and they're all nice, nice fish. And he's catching them all on shrimp. So if you go up there and throw a ladyfish out there, gosh knows what you're going to hook into. It's going to either be a big snook or a jewfish right there, or possibly a tarpon.
Somebody was telling me about flounder up there as well.
Yeah, on the if you're standing on the south jetty there, you got the main intercoastal, but if you look to your left looking down the beach, it kind of eddies throughout that whole section.
Mm-hmm.
And those flounder like to hang out in there because that gets a real funky washboard bottom, partially shelly, partially sandy. If you work it real slow, taking your time with a pompano jig, or even taking a pompano jig that works, thing that works real good up there. Those guys are taking either the pieces. Very few guys are doing the fish bites, but you could take the strips of fish bites or a strip of squid, and just cut like a thumb-sized triangle piece, or even a little bit bigger, and tip that on your pompano jig, and just lightly drag it, or just barely hop it along the bottom. That seems to be the guys that are catching the consistent numbers of flounder.
Well, anything, I don't know if we've did anything else. Let's drop back because, I mean, it is the peak of tarpon season right now. I mean, this is when everybody's coming down for tarpon. Tell me a little bit of, been hearing more and more from some of the different captains that the tarpon seem to be almost afraid of the lightning. And I guess if that was a 130, 150-pound fish, you know, you'd get old enough to learn that lightning hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
So we get these thunderstorms on the harbor and right along the beaches in the evenings and stuff. You think that's affecting tarpon fishing?
I know it does sometimes in the past for some reason. You know, it'll actually drive those fish out. Sometimes it'll drive them out for the entire evening, and I don't know what that's about, because, I mean, there's still guys catching them right off the beaches. So I'm not sure, you know, that whole hill area out to the, you know, through Boca Grande Pass, the lightning definitely does play a factor in spooking those fish for some reason, which I don't get, because 100 motors running over their head doesn't seem to bother them a bit. You know, I don't understand it, because the fish, like I said, they stay out along the beaches. You know, guys will still catch them right at sunset after that storm's already passed through, and still catch a lot of tarpon right there, but not in the pass itself. It's strange. There are some of those storms, though, where, like that one we had last week that hung out there for a couple hours, I don't know if it drove the fish off, but the guys that were following those fish seemed to get further and further offshore and then realized that storm was coming real quickly up their butts and had to turn around and come back in.
Right.
So I think it just depends on the size and the strength of that actual storm.
Okay. Now, a new feature I've kind of added to the fishing report is a whitebait report. I'm going to call Jug Creek as better place.
I'll agree with that. Jug Creek and Devilfish.
All right. Where and else then, would you say?
Over by the Three Sisters, there's been quite a bit of white bait of some decent size. And then another area where there's been some nice white bait has been that by the second cut through of Boca Grande. What's that? Where the second bridge is at, but through the trestle on the...
Oh, okay. Over there by Placida?
Yeah.
Okay.
That whole flat out there, basically, from the second cut through over
and
towards...
Dog Island? Island?
Yeah. South of Dog Island there.
Okay. Oh, God. Well, I wish my fingers worked. Now, Pirate Harbor has had some whitebait on it. It hasn't been real thick, but there has been some there. And the markers in the harbor are really kind of very steady. And that, I mean, that's literally from the 41 bridge all the way out to the Gulf.
Yeah.
What I probably wouldn't do is go for the well-known ones. I would just look and see, oh, there's this weird marker sticking up there, and I've never thrown for bait there. Let me go throw for bait there. Whether it's one piling or four, sometimes the four-posted pilings hold better, but a lot of times just a single piling, they'll all bunch up in the current behind it.
Yeah. Well, and even that, I've heard of some guys get some white bait off of Alligator Creek Reef, you know, up around those pilings.
Right. Okay.
The great part about that is hitting like those random spots is usually the bait are a little bit better quality.
Yeah, they haven't been hit as hard. And
yeah.
You get around marker two, marker one, more people throw for them, so, you know.
Right. You know, the main thing is like we can always never say enough, only take what you need, not what you want.
Yeah, it's weird. Nobody learned anything from last year.
Nothing.
We had no
nothing.
Bait from last year.
Didn't learn.
They said, see, that didn't have anything to do with it. We got lots of bait this year.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes nature gives you a preview of coming attractions.
Yeah, they give you a warning shot once in a while.
Yeah, that was the warning shot across the bow. No bait last year. And now this year we have a lot of bait. It's been pretty consistent, but I can promise you, it's nowhere near the amount of bait
we
had in 2000 or much less 1990 or 1979.
Yeah.
And take what you need, not what you want. And it's the same thing for every fish and everything we do. It's all about not wasting what we have.
And another
thing.
If
we use it properly, it'll last. If we just do what we want to do, we'll become our parents and destroy the planet.
Well, and the other thing with white bait. Take the extra 2 minutes to stop on your way back. You're crossing a flat somewhere. Stop and let the white bait go out there. Don't just take it back to the dock and start unloading it right there at the boat ramp.
And I think there should be a $200 fine for anybody caught throwing dead bait fish on the concrete boat ramp.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And to me, a $200 fine minimum. It just shows a lack of respect for the world and other people and the fish. And,
it's a public boat ramp. It's for all of us to use, and it's not a right.
And it's not even that. I mean, if you cannot be bothered while you're sitting there tied up to the dock to empty your live well, if you've got to pull up and get on land and then empty your live well, you don't deserve to have that treat.
Right, exactly.
If you throw them out dead on the concrete, you're a waste of a human, just like you're wasting the resources. That's what it boils down to. Get off your lazy butt and put them back in the water where they belong. Just a little while ago, I saw somebody doing it, and I walked up, and I was pretty belligerent. And not that I no, ever really no, not me, but yeah, I was, you know, kind of almost itching for a fight with that. It really offended me. Mm-hmm. You know, lazy.
It is. And I get everybody forgets once in a while, but most people are just flat out lazy and just don't care.
No, the few people that do it.
The few.
Most people nowadays are getting better. And it's the one thing that kind of keeps me hopeful for the industry. I remember when people go out fishing, throw all their fish in a 5-gallon bucket, come back and go, oh, look what I caught. Show it to their, you know, family and their neighbors, and then go dump it in the canal.
Yeah.
And not fillet it, not eat it. And they had to prove they were good by just having this big batch of fish that they destroyed. And for no reason. And people don't really do that anymore. And people are getting better. Things are getting better. People are getting better at what they do. And that's why I'm not agreeing with you on most people. I'm going to say it's the few. But it's those few that are annoying because they have no right to be that way. This all is part of everybody. It belongs to all of us. Not me, not you, not anybody else. All of us. We have to share it. And in order to share properly, it means don't, you know, if I get a bag of M&Ms and there's five of us there and three of us each take one and we throw the rest on the floor, not the right thing to do.
Right. Be good stewards.
So, anyway, getting back on there, what did we forget?
Alligator Creek Reef and Cape Hayes Reef.
Okay, let's do those.
Alligator Creek Reef has been sporadic. There are mangrove snapper on it, an oddball sheep's head. Been a lot of small goliaths on it, like 8 to 10 pounders. You know, nothing giant. Hearing of one here and there. But there has been some Spanish mackerel in there, a few cobia, and a lot of little sharks all over the place, both on it and around it. And it's almost a mirror image at Cape Hayes. Cape Hayes has kind of had the same scenario going on with it. You know, depending on either that particular day or that particular tide, it seems to have a little bit more fish or a little bit less fish on it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I think after this next moon, the mangrove snapper is going to get real scarce in the harbor because they really want to go offshore to go spawn because June and July and even August are their primary spawning months. They're just a little bit later behind all the other fish, and I'm sure it has something to do with the food chain or phytoplankton or something for their babies to feed on out there offshore.
Yeah, most things have a reason.
Yeah.
So, I guess in summary, how would you wrap up the fishing? I'd say it's been good but sporadic, and we've got a few guys having great days. I'd say the vast majority of the people are having okay, but not as many people having bad days now.
Yeah, a lot less people having bad days. You know, I think if you have a bad day out there right now, you had to kind of work at it.
Yeah, I think that's where you sat in one spot because that's where you always go.
Yeah, definition of insanity.
Doing the same thing again and again the same way and expecting a different result. Yes, okay. Yep. Yeah, like me trying to do radio fishing shows. Yeah, I keep doing them and they still aren't very good. But, you know, hey, you know.
It's killer information.
Yeah. Killer. That's how I feel about it. Okay. Well, anyway, for all you out there listening, thank you so much for listening, and we hope you got a little bit of information out of today's show. Fish and Frank in the chair here. That's Robert in the chair across from me, our walking encyclopedia of all things cold-blooded that like to kill you, bite you, poison you, or stab you, or just all in general. But you know, he is changing. He does have some warm and fuzzy creatures nowadays. So, let's see. I can't really think of anything else to talk about except this.
Happy Memorial Day and have a safe day.
Oh, yeah. Happy Memorial Day. And thank you to all the people who
make this place safer.
Yeah, they sacrificed everything so I could sit here and talk like a lunatic in relative safety. Yeah. So, it was nice, you guys, and we really appreciate that. And
I watched that American Sniper the other night.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, there's a little...
It's pretty impressive. It'll give you goosebumps at some point watching it. You got something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a pretty impressive movie.
Yeah, well, people doing the whole military thing are pretty impressive people.
Absolutely.
That takes a whole lot, and, you know, hats off to them.
Absolutely.
Know? So, anyway, we're going to wrap this up with Bobby, and this is Frank and Robert, and thanks for listening, guys.
Grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup, give her a crank. I got to talk with Fishing Frank. Fishing Frank is the guy who knows where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishing Frank. 'Cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishing Frank's. You gotta go to Fishing Frank's. The one who knows is Fishing Frank.